These little windows are not for making direct observation, but is rather screen's sensor for different uses. And here is the finished ship. We see technicians enter who will make sure everything works, but it misses the most important. Here the ship is move modus. Do it according to the will of his crew. It climbs, descends, moves in different ways and at different angles, however it is not armed. From our observation point, we follow the ship in its movements. We see it approaching another department where there is a sort of tubular water tank with a capacity of about 100 liters. One of them separates from the group and meets the ship, which approaches at a low altitude to position itself on this cylinder. All is moved without the direct intervention of anyone. The vessel descends slowly until it gives the impression of having swallowed the cylinder. When it gets up again, it keeps it in the belly, and it remains on the floor. Only the little platform on which it was moving, which returns slowly to the room. Have you any idea what this cylinder was? No less than a terrible weapon that can disintegrate everything, absolutely anything, at any imaginable distance. It produces vibrations capable of demolishing buildings in just a few minutes. The thickness of the walls of the vessel is more than 10 inches. The material is transparent, with greater visibility in the lower part, because sometimes we can see the discs of the machines spinning. It is these, whites, that produce luminescence that increase or decrease in intensity according to the zone where they are found. These discs' wheels rotate at different speeds and the slowest ones are those below. Not from this book, Vril with only one rotor, but miss a drawing like this one, which would make the understanding more easy. When not reading a mother language on such high-tech things. Our ship, which we followed step by step, is half finished, it is missing now only polishing. For this final process we check that it floats gently and move on to another department, until reaching and positioning in the center a gigantic machine, equipped with a series of discs that are spinning at high speeds, moving in all directions to cover all the ship, removing it from our vision. After this operation, our ship is blazing new and ready to engage in any kind of testing. It goes out to the open air and they make it work incredible. Because of our mentality, it's only in seeing these wonders, we can believe. The tubular vessels have two sets of discs arranged over their entire length and may contain, according to their length, up to 20 on each axis of large dimensions. One of the characteristics of these vessels, according to my friends, to whom I asked if they were losing ships in their incursions on other planets, is it that they have lost any? But they still, let them, explode at sea when damaged, after have recovered the crew members. This to avoid that the remains get in the hands of ambitious/ignorants. And in all their ships, absolutely in all, their machinery is made up of discs of different diameters depending on the size of the vessel. I think later if it will be the concept that we will use to propel our independent vehicles. Last here clip on same case. Google translated. Travel to Venus on a flying saucer. The incredible story of Salvador Villanueva, final May 8, 2010 Luizen 3 trip to Venus in a flying disc. For pictures here, go to the site https://translate.google.com/translate. HL equals no and SL equals auto and TL equals N and U equals HTTP percent 3A percent 2F percent 2F marsanitos verds dot R and dot com percent 2F 2010 percent 2F 05 percent 2F via Venus N un Plato Volador Anchorable Historia de Salvador Villanueva final percent 2F here copy of the auto translated text, Act 3. Then came the grand reception at the American Club, organized by the English-speaking commission all interested in the dishes, lights, photographers, caviar, cocktails, reception lines, presentations, music. Distinguished men in fine suits and beautiful ladies in colorful suits. A mix of diplomats and military personnel. And the waiters really doing their things. A real Mexican party well. It's something to be invited to one. We had a great time hanging around and listening to the various groups. Mr. Adamski had difficulty answering all the questions that were asked of him. Then, suddenly behind the scene in Joy, we received Anso's call from a member of the commission. A young man who had entered the reception without invitation and was trying to extort a few pesos by means of a false legal document. The commission's legal advisor, a magistrate, was fortunately present and returned him on his way in a hurry. The party continued without being disturbed. We doubt if any of the distinguished guests would have known what was happening behind the scenes. Actually, another character appeared. I wanted to know how much Mr. Adamski was charged for a conference. He seemed surprised to learn that Mr. Adam, 1, gave the lecture only at the insistence of friends and without charge. The charge was for the Insurgents Theatre, which had exceeded the ticket sales expenses. Now we knew that an evil was being planned. But the party continued cheerfully, and only the commission knew about these events and only the villain knew of the crime committed in secret at the conference. But soon we would know. A messenger appeared with a legal summons for Mr. Adamski. Had believe it or not committed the crime of giving a lecture charged to a peso the Pedro Ferry's entrance, 2, at the Teatro de los Insurgents, without a permit. The commission had obtained entry permits, theater permits, and God knows how many other permits, but they had neglected to obtain a personal permission for the speaker. Mr. Adamski, of course, knew nothing of all this. All he knew was that a group of friends had asked him to give the lecture. But that did not influence the villain of the plot. Pedro Ferries. International Complications, Act 4. The following days were agitated. We were all flying around to make sure Mr. Adamski did not stop in jail. A second summons was waiting for him at his hotel that night, and he went to undergo interrogation in the morning. At the hearing, his documents were taken away despite the commission's protests. It was not yet known who was involved in this. The only thing that could be done now was to get help from the US Embassy, which he quickly did. International Complications. There is never a dull moment in Mexico. But we all felt sorry for Mr. Adamski. The adverse publicity resulted in the cancellation of some television programs and even an important conference that was to be given to the National Association of Mexican Technicians. Roberto Kenny. The problem was fixed, finally, due to the intervention of a high character of Mexican politics whom the Reeves identify as Mr. Hero. Was it Jesus Reyes Heroles, 3? Maybe we'll never know. The Midnight Horseback, the villains slash the bandits turned out to be journalists, irritated, some of whom we have understood attended the failed press conference. Finally, some apologies came. Best of all, Mr. Hero arranged for Mr. Adamski to speak after all, in a meeting of the National Association of Mexican Technicians, which was held in his own residence. We still have our printed invitation worthy of this matter. Thus ended this fantastic drama in Old Mexico. Thank you very much, Mr. Hero. Thank you very much to all the actors in the drama. In hindsight, I would not have missed any of that for nothing. The interview Adamski Villanueva. Finally, after the incident of the Theater of the Insurgents, an interview was arranged between the two Earthlings who, supposedly, had visited the planet Venus. Adamski subjected Villanueva to a type of secret and esoteric test, designed by Adamski himself to determine the truth of the contactees. Adamski asked him a series of questions and declared that Villanueva was being honest, since he had answered correctly. Picture of Diego Rivera and Emma Hurtado? Reeve are again those who inform us of this. The meeting of the two Adamskis. Before George Adamski left Mexico, an interesting meeting was organized between him and Salvador Villanueva Medina, the taxi driver from Mexico. Many of Salvador's admirers at that time called him the Mexican Adamski. Thus, a historic meeting was organized between the two Adamskis in the residence of Mr. G.B. This is the sequel we promised in Chapter 10. Only 6 of us were present, including a gentleman who acted as an interpreter. The Theater of the Insurgents, whose marquee could read, The Flying Saucers by George Adamski. Before the meeting, it was agreed that Mr. George Adamski would be free to ask Salvador to give an idea as to the validity of Salvador's experience. 4. We sat back, amazed at how the interrogation continued. Some of the questions asked by Mr. Adamski were fundamentally technical questions about the dishes that we could not have answered correctly ourselves. What did Salvador see when he looked through the door in the ship? What did you notice when the ship took off? Exactly what reasons did man give the space to be there? These and many other specific questions were asked. If the questions amazed us, so did the answers. Salvador approved his examination in the hands of man, who had seen a saucer by himself, knew how to ask certain things that you would not imagine that simple contact could give the answers. All those present were satisfied with the results. We left the meeting feeling grateful that the events had worked in such a way that we could be present. Jesus Reis Heralds. The version of Villanueva is more sparing, but let's glimpse his anxiety. Shortly after came from California, USA, Mr. Jorge Adamski. He also gave a lecture on the subject at the Insurgents Theater, and said he had had numerous contacts with the crew of the ships. I was introduced to Mr. M. B. And I just answered your questions, but without extending. Illustration of George Adamski in the house of the Reeve couple, in Mexico City. I had the firm conviction that none of the people I had met would have more experience than I did, and it seemed to me that they were only seeking my confessions for their personal benefit. Adamski's partner and CEO author, Desmond Leslie, also visited Villanueva that same year, and claimed that Adamski had entrusted him with the clave, explaining that every man who has had real physical contact with men from other worlds, he has been given a certain key by which he is known to be telling the truth. Again we give the word to Villanueva. The English writer Mr. Desmond Leslie also passed through this capital and I had the opportunity to meet him and accompany him for a day and a half, thanks to the interest of the diligent researcher and journalist Mr. M. B. That there was no point of rest to take advantage of how much opportunity was presented to investigate my experiences. Desmond Leslie. I must clarify, as I said before, that the journalist had not told him the full experience either. Like the other people, I limited myself to telling him only one part, since the rest considered him implausible. I was afraid they would ridicule me, because then I thought it fair that nobody believed what I had not seen with their own eyes. However, the promise I had made to the spacecraft crew continued to rage in my mind. And this is the reason why I decided to write my story broadly and without the limitations imposed by journalism. I hope you forgive my daring. Villanueva, 30-40 years after. In the decade of the 80s I wrote the technology sections of the Vogue and Ver and Mexico magazines, both of the Navidad's publishing group. One of the many times that I was in the offices of the magazine talking with its publisher Noagudo, the issue of UFOs came up and led to the matter of the contactees. Soon the name of Salvador Villanueva Medina appeared and I commented that the first articles about this contact had been written by a journalist from Navidad's, M.G.B. I asked if anyone knew him. As it was logical, almost 30 years had already passed, nobody remembered it, but no promised to introduce me to the journalists of the old guard. Picture, Timothy Good. The Café La Habana is, or was, one of the favorite meeting places for journalists in Mexico. Its location lends itself to this, it is only one block away from the three main newspapers of the capital, The News, which we already mentioned, The Excelsior and The Universal. Noah took me to introduce me to those who had been some of his teachers and who might have met him. GB. I spoke with several journalists, but none remembered that him. GB. Until Roberto Acevedo, who was the founder of Esto, told me that it was Manuel Gutierrez Balcazar, who had directed the newspaper El Figaro. Finally I knew who was behind the pseudonym M. GB. But let's leave this part of the story here. For those same dates, despite my repudiation of the contactees, I decided to visit the Villanueva Mechanical Workshop. I do not remember how I got the data or who gave me the information. The fact is that I was there, in the workshop, talking with his son Salvador Villanueva Larios, who informed me that his father was not there, but he put my disposition of his mechanical services. I told him that what got me there was his father's story about the trip to Venus. Then he became defensive. He told me that his dad's book was just imagination. That they were fed up with the matter. That his father did not like to talk about the subject. That, even, had changed its character because of the ridicule for the book. Salvador Villanueva Larios. That made me more interested in the matter. The son of Villanueva saying that everything had been the product of his father's imagination. Larios gave me a card from the workshop and got back to my orders. We said goodbye. The days passed and I tried a new interview. I arrived at the workshop, but I was not lucky either, or they refused to Salvador. I did not make a new attempt. 10 years later I met the young ufologist Oscar Garcia. Almost 40 years had passed since the publication of Villanueva's book. He proposed to investigate the case. Once again, apathy had come over the cases of contactees and I declined their invitation. I gave him the workshop card and he went to the interview only. He had no better luck. Villanueva had died a short time ago. He learned that the contactee thought he had been hypnotized to make him think he had traveled to Venus. He commented that he had been proposed to make a film about his book, but the project never materialized. Oscar established contact between Villanueva's son and editorial Mina, who was interested in republishing his book. Last conclusions. We have left several loose clues throughout this work. It is time to collect and analyze them. Maybe the reader has already solved the mystery. But if not, pay attention. We said that M. G.B. Manuel Gutierrez Balcazar, the journalist who made known the case of Salvador Villanueva Medina, met him before the conference of the Reef Spouses. It is suspect that he has adopted an attitude of astonishment when, at the conference of the Americans, Villanueva raised his hand to affirm that he had contacted beings from another world. M. G.B. himself had invited him to the conference. In fact, Gutierrez met Villanueva even before, allegedly, Villanueva sent him the letter that told his contact story. Both characters would meet in the underworld of the esoteric and mystical circles of Mexico City, of which they were frequent visitors. Villanueva visited spiritualist circles, trying to improve their economic situation. Gutierrez did the same. We do not know if for the same reasons, but to document and then write his articles in newspapers and magazines, national and foreign. He was correspondent of Fate and newspapers in Venezuela and Argentina. It is true that Adamski's books were translated into Spanish after the story of Villanueva appeared. It is also true that the Mexican contactee, almost illiterate, could hardly have known the history of the American contactee. But for Gutierrez, that was not impossible. On the contrary, you would not have expected something different. He spoke and wrote English perfectly. He was interested in paranormal topics and his job was just to tell those stories in his newspapers. Manuel Gutierrez knew the Adamski case even before the story of Villanueva appeared. It is not surprising that Villanueva's description of the ship he found in a place near Ciudad Valles coincides like a drop of water to another, with the description and photographs of the Adamskian ships, a majestic flattened sphere rested on three buoys that formed a triangle. It had, at the top, a cable slightly inclined inwards, about 1 meter high, surrounded by holes that resembled portholes like those used on ships. From this perspective, there are no problems or incongruities with what journalist Rafael Solano already pointed out. How can the man who has written this amiable and entertaining story have the summary culture that he reveals graphologically and orthographically? And there is no incongruity if we think that the one who wrote the story and the book was Manuel Gutierrez Balcazar himself. But, a moment, the reader may tell me. Villanueva himself said that he had asked the journalist to help him in the writing of his story. That is true and that could explain the incongruity. In fact, it explains why both writing styles are similar, in particular the excessive use, for my taste, of the ellipses, but the above does not explain why the styles in Antonio Apodaca's story are similar. This last story, it is supposed, was written by Salvador Villanueva, without the help of Manuel Gutierrez, and nevertheless we find the same way of writing. This seems to indicate that Gutierrez wrote both stories and used Villanueva as the author. Yes, I use parts of the taxi driver's biography, such as the character of Antonio Apodaca, uncle of Villanueva in real life, or some trip he had made to Ciudad Valls, and that formed the basis of the story about contact with extraterrestrials. Gutierrez had several commitments with his columns in newspapers and magazines. The Mexican wave of 1950 had passed, and the accounts of the French wave of 1954 were just beginning to arrive. The news of UFOs was not abundant. It was necessary to invent some stories. Picture of Villanueva. Salvador Villanueva Medina towards the end of his days. The story of Villanueva's contact was polished little by little. At the beginning, no details were given, as in the case of the meeting place. In Gutierrez's first article it says, in the afternoon, we would have walked about 500.5 kilometers. But then the detail is refined and we are told that it happened at kilometer 484. Perhaps, and this is pure speculation, Villanueva told him about a trip to Laredo and told him that the car had broken down just after passing Ciudad Valls. When viewing a road map of the time, the distance noted should have been 500 kilometers to Ciudad Valls. And if the mishap occurred after Ciudad Valls, then the description would be about 500 or so miles. After the trip of investigation with the Reeves, when verifying the distances, the data was adjusted to 484 kilometers. To publish the book, money was needed. As Villanueva says, at that time there were few Mexican publishers interested in publishing books on flying dishes. It was necessary to pay for the edition. Maybe Gutierrez was looking for some editor, but without luck. Again, this is pure speculation. That's why 3 years passed before the book was published. Finally, he realized that only by paying the impression could he see the book. But there was a problem. Villanueva was a poor driver who barely kept his family. That's where the story of the winning lottery ticket comes from. And this is not speculation. Manuel Gutierrez Balcazar always tried to maintain the right distance between himself and the story of Villanueva. In the story, for example, does not identify the photographer who accompanied them to the excursion to Ciudad Valls, who was his son Salvador Gutierrez. That's why he did not want to appear as the one who contributed the money to publish the book. But some details escaped him, such as when he writes, awarding it to Villanueva, and this is the reason why I decided to write my story broadly and without the limitations imposed by journalism. I hope you forgive my boldness. Gutierrez Balcazar wanted to see the complete work finished in the form of a book. The limitations imposed by journalism was the lack of space. But in a book you could extend everything you wanted. And we said that this was no longer speculation because, when we spoke with the journalist Roberto Acevedo, the first thing he told us, laughing, was that everything had been an invention of Manuel Gutierrez Balcazar, who had used Salvador Villanueva Medina as the alleged author of that fantastic trip, and that he himself had paid for the edition of the book, as well as an amount to Salvador for the favor and to keep the secret. That explains why Villanueva did not want to collect royalties for the book. He could not, because it was not a work of his. And his true author could not either, because he had unmasked himself. In this way, one more deception will swell the history of ufology. End.